This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And we are back, folks, on the Michigan Insider, michigan.247sports.com. I'm your host, Alejandro Zuniga, here with Matt Weaver, who covers Indiana football and recruiting for 247 Sports. We are here for Behind Enemy Lines, our podcast video series where we take an insider's look at the Michigan football team's upcoming opponent. And as Matt from 247 Indiana being here suggests, we're here to preview the Hoosiers. Michigan is heading down for a noon matchup, big noon Saturday, big noon kickoff yet again over in Bloomington, Indiana, to face the Hoosiers for their homecoming. The Hoosiers are 3-2 on the year, 1-1 in Big Ten play. They open the season with a win that really looks more impressive as the year goes on, a comeback win in the final minutes over Illinois, followed that with closer victories, but victories nonetheless over Idaho and Western Kentucky, the latter of which took overtime, but have struggled in the last couple of weeks in losses to Cincinnati and most recently to Nebraska. Michigan, of course, being in the Big Ten and in the Big Ten East, has plenty of history, both recent and long-term, with the Hoosiers. We saw them, the Michigan football team did last year up at the Big House. But this is a very different-looking team and a very different-looking program, as Matt, I'm sure we're about to discuss. This is a team that took full advantage of the transfer portal to reshape its offense and also reshaped its coaching staff with a new offensive coordinator, new defensive coordinator, and really across the board under head coach who's still Tom Allen. So Matt, I'm going to toss it over to you. It's been quite busy 10 months for the Indiana football program. A lot has changed since they traveled up to the Big House. What was the offseason like? What are some of the biggest changes to the program? And how has the season started from your insider's perspective?
Well, I mean, obviously last year was a very poor year for Indiana. They went 2-10, lost their last, I think it was like seven, eight in a row. I can't remember. Didn't win a game in the Big Ten. So there was a lot of roster turnover. They brought in, I think, around 35, 36 new players. So almost half the scholarship roster was turned over. I want to say four or five coaches. So that's what happens when you have a bad season. Things change. And so, they hit the portal hard, as you said. They signed one of the best recruiting classes in program history. So far the start of the season, it's been a mixed bag. I mean, I think they're better than they were last year, but, I've told people before the season, they could be better than they were last year and still win only four games because the schedule's so tough. You play at Cincinnati in the non-conference, and then you have the Big Ten East schedule, and then one of your crossover games is Illinois, and then obviously the other one's Purdue, and both those teams, Illinois is much improved and Purdue was a bowl team last year, so they showed a lot of grit, I guess you could say, resiliency in those first three games, probably more than they needed to, well, especially in the second and third game, games maybe that should have been as close as they were. But these last 2 weeks, their issues are catching up to them. And, you're starting to see it on both sides of the ball. And that's why, you know, they're not playing well, and they've got to get some stuff fixed if they want to have any chance to get three more wins and get to a bowl game by the end of the year.
Well, we'll go ahead and get started then talking about the Indiana offense. I think that's the more encouraging side of the ball right now. Indiana brought in a new quarterback, transferred from Mizzou, Connor Basilak. I have a couple of good transfer running backs as well. Sean Shivers, Jalen Lucas. An offense that I when I look at what the new system is, it looks like it's more of a hurry up system, one that's trying to use tempo to take advantage, to create opportunities for itself to keep the ball moving. Something that didn't seem to go quite so well against Nebraska last week. I was reading, I believe it was your story over on the Indiana site for 24/7. And Tom Allen was acknowledging that the defense was worn out by the end of the game. It was a game where the offense, particularly in the fourth quarter, particularly in the second half, couldn't really stay on the field. And I was also reading the 24/7 site for Indiana, and it seems like a lot of people like this freshman, Jalen Lucas, a kid who made a really nice play against Nebraska and looks like he could be used in a variety of ways out of the backfield. I guess, Matt, when we're looking at the IU offense, it does look a lot different than last year. I mean, when the Hoosiers rolled into the Big House last year, I believe it was a fourth string quarterback. You know, it was a team that was very beat up, and at the tail end of what you just mentioned was a very difficult year. It seemed like the offense, especially in that last series of the opening game against Illinois, where Basilak led a game-winning touchdown, Tom Allen said it was one of the more meaningful wins of his career because of the context, because of how that followed, you know, such a difficult 2021. It seems like the offense has some pieces. And I also want to mention a couple of really good wide receivers. First one being Cam Camper, the second one, DJ Matthews, neither of whom I believe played against the Cornhuskers. Both are on the depth chart, so it looks like they could go for the Michigan game. Cam Camper is a JUCO transfer who leads the team in catches and yards, actually more than 100 yards per game. You know, the sort of receiver that Michigan, you know, has a talent on its own roster, but it doesn't really have a true number one option like Cam Camper. So Matt, I guess breaking down this IU offense, it's a new offensive coordinator. How has that looked so far? What are some of the areas that have gone well? What still needs to improve?
I mean, I think, you know, it was hard not to be better than they were last year. They were, I think they were dead last in almost every category offensively in 2021. I mean, they were barely scoring a touchdown, 10 points a game in league play, if I remember right. So they're better. You know, the same issues though they had last year, the biggest issue was the offensive line play, was the offensive line play, and it's really not improved all that much this year. Now, they've had some injuries. They lost Matthew Bedford early to an ACL injury for the year. Zach Carpenter, former Michigan player who transferred to Indiana a couple years ago, hurt his hand in warmups of the Western Kentucky game, and it's now casted up. I'm not exactly sure what he did and how you could do that in warmups, but he managed to do it. He played guard last week, so they brought him back to play guard. He just can't snap because of the cast. But the offensive line has just not been good. I mean, they got absolutely manhandled at Cincinnati and against a Nebraska team that I think in four games had four sacks against Indiana, four or five in like six, seven, eight hurries. They just can't block anybody right now. It's a big issue. It's been a big issue. I'm not sure how you fix it midstream, but you're going to have to try to figure something out, especially this week, because Michigan's going to bring guys in who are going to get after the quarterback. They're going to have good guys in that D line. So, you know, I think the tempo has helped. You know, last week when Coach Allen said it, you know, the defense wore out, they wore out because the offense couldn't do anything. I mean, they had 71 yards of offense in the second half. They had 5 yards on 12 plays in the fourth quarter. I mean, it's almost hard to wrap your head around numbers that bad in a college football game, but that's where they were. And so the defense was constantly on the field. You know, Baselak's been solid at times. He's, you know, he's like 52.8%, so 53%. This is a guy that was over 60% in the SEC. Mm-hmm. So his accuracy has really, really fallen. And a lot of it is he's under pressure. And then, you know, Indiana doesn't have a bunch of guys who get separation. When they didn't have Camper and Matthews last week, they were in big trouble. they're easily their two best receivers. Camper's been a great find as a JUCO transfer. And DJ Matthews, even though he's smaller, is fast and can get open. But the other guys just struggle to get separation and to make plays. So, you know, without them, they were really in trouble. You know, the offense is better, but it's not anywhere near still where it needs to be able to beat quality teams, especially in the Big Ten. You know, it's just that and until you fix the O-line, you know, I think Bazelak could be a serviceable, productive quarterback. But he, if he gets pressure, he's either going to have to throw it away or he's going down because he's not a scrambling quarterback. He's not going to beat you with his legs at all. That's not his game. And so it's a bad match at times when the line can't block and your quarterback can't run. It's not a good combination. So, you know, the running backs, the transfers have been solid. Lucas, it was mind-boggling last week. He had the most yards rushing for Indiana against Nebraska, and he had three carries all in the first half. And he's a player that does things that nobody else on the roster can do, but yet he's not getting that many touches. And they keep saying that's going to change. We'll see if that changes this week. Now, he's not very big, so he's going to have to protect himself. Because if he takes too many shots, he's probably not going to last. But he is a dynamic player with the ball in his hands. I really like Josh Henderson, too. I think Sean Chivers is a nice player. I think he's more of a third down back. They start him, but I think Henderson might actually be the better back of the two. You know, they got some tight ends. A.J. Barner is a talented guy. They just haven't gotten him the ball much. And I'm guessing some of that is because he has to stay in and block to help out the O-line. So it's been, it's been inconsistent. And the issues that we saw in the first 3 weeks are starting to be more prevalent because you're playing better competition. Cincinnati's obviously got a good team. Nebraska has some good players. They're not a good team, but they do have some decent players. But defensively, they were horrendous. And Indiana couldn't do anything against them. So that was a huge red flag when you couldn't run the ball on the worst rush defense in the Big Ten last week. And this week, you know, obviously it doesn't get any easier. It gets a lot harder. So they're going to have to figure out some stuff to have a chance to even stay in this game against Michigan.
Yeah, a lot of good points there. And I think one that Michigan fans probably their ears perked up when you said it were those offensive line issues. Michigan, you know, replaced Aiden Hutchinson, David Ojabo, Chris Hinton so on the defensive line and at the edge position. So generating pressure has been and how to generate pressure from the interior and with completely new edge presences has been one of the bigger storylines of the 2022 season so far. Michigan coach Jim Harbaugh acknowledged that it's been up and down, and the pressure on the quarterback seemed to disappear at times against Iowa. Of course, Mike Morris and then Yabi Oki combined for four really fantastic plays in the final meaningful series there, and the Wolverines will hope to continue that momentum and continue, you know, establishing themselves as a force on the defensive line against what sounds like or what looks like a Hoosiers offensive line that has been reshuffled multiple times, both due to performance concerns and due to injuries. Well, all right, we're going to take a quick break here. On the other side, we will come back, talk about the Indiana defense, and give quick predictions for what we expect in Bloomington on Saturday.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
And we are back, folks, on the Michigan Insider, michigan.247sports.com. Alejandro Zuniga here with Matt Weaver, who covers all things Indiana football. We just finished talking about the IU offense, which, you know, has returning pieces from injuries, you know, has some concerns on the offensive line, but does have some areas, especially at the wide receiver position and with some dynamic skill position players to threaten the Michigan defense. I want to flip now and talk about the Hoosiers defense. One that, as I'm looking at the stats, as I'm looking at, you know, the conference, the national rankings, I was really surprised about, because I came into the season expecting that the Hoosiers defense, and particularly its secondary, would be a strength, you know, not necessarily to what we saw, what Michigan saw from Iowa last week, you know, in being the best defense in the country, one of the better defenses, best defense in the conference, one of the best potentially in the country. I'll get my words right at some point. But I look at the stats and I see the Hoosiers are currently the worst passing defense in the Big Ten, giving up 277 yards per game, next to last in terms of scoring defenses, ahead of just, I believe it was Nebraska at this point. And that was confusing to me, because I know Taiwan Mullen, who a couple of years ago seemed like he was on the fast track to the NFL. You know, I know Jalen Williams is a returning veteran presence. So I look at the secondary and I think the pieces, the players I know are better than the output has been so far. So Matt, you have watched this team for 5 weeks now. I know it's a new defensive coordinator, maybe a new defensive system. What's gone so poorly so far?
Well, it is a new defensive coordinator. Chad Wilk came from Minnesota. He was a D-line coach up there. Came to Indiana as a D coordinator and actually is coaching linebackers. But the system's Tom Allen. Tom Allen is actually calling the plays. Now, Chad Wilk, obviously, and all they collaborate as far as, you know, putting the game plan together. But Tom Allen is back as the DC, even though he doesn't have that title. He's calling the plays. It's his defense. And you're right. The secondary is supposed to be the strength. I mean, Jalen Williams, he's using his free year from COVID this year. He's played 4 years before this season. This is his fifth year playing. Taiwan Mullen is back. Devon Matthews, the safety, he's another fifth-year player. Brian Fitzgerald is in his sixth year. So this is a really experienced secondary, and they're not playing good. I mean, and one of the things that has really killed Indiana this year are the big plays. You know, looking at the stats, they are they're in the bottom third and giving up plays of 10 more than yards. They're one of the worst in plays of giving up plays of 20 yards or more, and that's really hurt them. I mean, it hurt them against Western Kentucky. It hurt them against Cincinnati, and then it hurt them against Nebraska. Nebraska had some big plays, and you know, those are backbreakers. Those are killers. You want to, you know, you obviously want to try to make teams drive the field, and Coach Allen will say it. He's right. How many yards you give up is not really that big of a deal. Where you want to be good is when they get in the red zone, force them into field goals and make them have to go the field to get points. And if you give up 500 yards, but they're kicking field goals, that's okay. In today's college football, you're going to give up yards because of the way the rules are. So, but they're giving up big plays, and they've just, you know, the Western Kentucky game was really concerning because there were guys running wide open in the secondary. They just looked like, at times, it looked like some guys were playing zone and some guys were playing man, and the communication wasn't there. Now, Western Kentucky plays really, really fast, and, you know, Indiana's trying to get lined up and get the play in, so you could have some of that confusion. But with guys at that experience level, that shouldn't be happening. So they've not played as well. Taiwan Mullen's not been as good as he was 2 years ago when he was an All-American. Jalen Williams has been okay at times. You know, Devon Matthews and Brian Fitzgerald have struggled in coverage. So, you know, they can be had in the passing game, especially with big plays. And excuse me. The other problem is when you don't get pressure on the quarterback with your front four and you got a blitz, you've got to get home. If you don't get home on that blitz at this level, guys are too good. I mean, quarterbacks, even I know Nebraska struggled. Casey Thompson's a solid player. They've got a good receiver up. I think his last name's Palmer. They've got some guys who can make plays. And if you don't get pressure on that guy, he's got time to stay in the pocket. And it's man coverage. I don't care how good your corner is. The guy's going to get open at some point. So, you know, they struggle to get pressure. The run, they've been kind of hit or miss. You know, the stats don't back it up. I think they've been solid against the run. I think some of the running sets, like, you know, the Western Kentucky game, 80% of their rushing yards came off four plays. Now, those count, but it happened in the second half. Cincinnati, they completely shut down the Cincinnati run game. Nebraska had some yards, but I think that was more, like we talked about earlier, the defense really wore down in the second half. But, you know, the rush defense to me is the most important thing this week. Michigan runs the ball terrific. It is at Corum, Blake Corum.
Yeah,
is a terrific
Blake Corum. Yeah, he has 59 carries in the last 2 weeks. You know, he had five touchdowns on 12 touches 3 weeks ago. So he's been on a hot streak. You know, entering, you know, very early Heisman Trophy talks even. And yeah, it's a Michigan offense that prides itself on its running game. I think one point you mentioned too is, you know, secondary issues and secondary concerns. You know, JJ McCarthy, the Michigan quarterback, has, you know, kind of expected him to be able to hit the deep ball, particularly against a team, say like Maryland, the Big Ten opener. You know, JJ missed a few of those shots. And then last week against Iowa, it was the same sort of story where, you know, Iowa's a better defense, but there was a deep shot to be had and JJ missed it. So I think if you're a Michigan fan coming into this game, you know, we've kind of seen the floor for JJ McCarthy elevated because the big question was with him was like, can he take care of the football? Can he make smart reads and make smart throws? And so far that's been yes. You know, JJ has been fantastic in, you know, in the screen game, short intermediate throws, but all of a sudden something that he was so good at last year, which was hitting the deep shot, he's just a little bit off with it. So, you know, Matt, I'll just throw it back to you because I don't think you were quite done. But another thing that did stand out to me, like you just mentioned, was the fact that, you know, it's the linebackers and the linebackers are the players on this team who are really generating pressure. You know, it's the front four isn't really doing it. And what sort of opportunities could this present for Michigan if, you know, if the front four for the Hoosiers is leaving a clean pocket for JJ to pick them apart?
Yeah, and Cam Jones, he's another guy, fifth-year guy who's back using his free year. And Aaron Casey, Indiana plays a 4-2-5. So you play two linebackers. And then that fifth guy is kind of like a nickel, a safety kind of guy. Noah Pierre is a starter. They call it the Husky position. Cam Jones has played well. Aaron Casey's played well. You know, a guy to watch out for, Desaun McCullough, the highest-rated recruit Indiana's ever gotten. Obviously, his father is former Indiana assistant, Dylan McCullough, who's now at Notre Dame. And, you know, before he came back to Indiana last year, was with the Chiefs when they won the Super Bowl. You know, and Desaun is he's the best way to describe it, he's a freak. I mean, he's 6'5", 225, 230 pounds, really long arms, really athletic and explosive. Just the kind of player that, I mean, Michigan's probably used to getting, but in Indiana, they don't get those guys very often. So he's really helped out in the pass rush. But, you know, he's a true freshman. And he's, you know, I mean, this is going to be there as the schedule goes along, you know, he's going to be facing guys that are really, really good, you know, week in and week out. So he's going to have to elevate his game. But he is a special talent. The thing is, they need more of guys like that. They need more help for him. And, you know, they'll do some things with their linebackers and their DBs and blitzing. But like I said, they just had trouble getting to the quarterback this year. I was just looking at the stats, and I think they're towards the bottom in sacks. You know, I noticed Michigan, even with all their losses on the D-line, is second in sacks, and Indiana's third in sacks allowed. So, once again, a strength of Michigan, it matches up well for them against a very, very bad weakness for Indiana. But getting back to the defense, you know, they're going to have to shut down that running game. I mean, when I say shut it down, you're not going to shut it down completely. That guy's too good. But if he goes for 120 yards, you need to make him really work for those 120 yards. It can't be 120 yards on like 15 carries or 20 carries or something like that. And he can't have those big runs. I mean, you know, they actually, you know, Chase Brown in the first game, who's a really good player too, had some big runs, but they were, you know, Indiana was able to still win that game. You know, this week against Corum, who I've got to see a little bit, it's hard to watch other teams when you're covering your own team, but he's really good. He's, like you mentioned, he's a very talented player. And obviously Michigan does a great job of running the ball. Jim Harbaugh has always been good at having offenses that can run the ball. You know, and then you add in a talent like a McCarthy at quarterback who can make plays. So it's going to be a tough assignment for Indiana. This, to me, you know, the offense obviously has to score some points, but to have any chance, this is the side of the ball that's got to really step up. They're going to have to get some turnovers. They're going to have to, you can't give up the big plays, and you're going to have to slow down that running game to the point where, you know, you make Michigan maybe a little uncomfortable if they can do that. Maybe put them in some third and longs in some situations where maybe they don't want to be in. But it's going to be difficult. It's going to be a heck of a challenge for this defense. And to me, that's the only way they have a shot to stay in this game.
Well, Matt, it is homecoming for the Hoosiers. It is a big noon kickoff in Bloomington for the first time ever. And for Michigan, quite honestly, it sets itself up as a game that could very well be a trap game, right? It comes after a very emotional and, you know, from the beginning of the season, that first road test at Iowa was kind of seen as the first big hurdle for a team that really didn't play a whole lot of, you know, competition to their level in the non-conference. And this comes before Penn State week, you know, which will be a maze out at Michigan Stadium. What could be a battle of undefeated top programs and one of the deciding battles for the East. You know, I look at this game and I think with all of these factors, I know Indiana has struggled, but maybe I'm just, you know, remembering those tight games of, you know, the last 10, 15 or so years, some Indiana-Michigan games that have been really kind of crazy. I think this game is going to be closer than people think, you know, not necessarily that Indiana is going to pull it off, but, you know, when this game opens as a 21 point spread, I think, you know, maybe that's a little too high for my taste. I just think that, you know, when you're playing at home as the Hoosiers on homecoming with national attention and a team that has something to prove and is potentially getting back a couple of receivers that didn't play last week against Nebraska and has a freshman or running back who is growing into a bigger role. I think Indiana keeps it a bit closer. What do you think?
Well, I mean, I wish I shared your same confidence. I mean, I think it's going to be, I do see what you're talking about. You guys had the Iowa game last week over there in Iowa City, which is always a tough place to play. And then you said you have Penn State next week in a big game. So I can see a bit of a trap game. It's a noon game, so it's a little bit earlier. You know, obviously, when I say earlier, I mean, you know, a lot of these games are in the afternoon and stuff. So, you know, and not only is it homecoming for Indiana, Hoosier Hysteria for basketball is Friday night. So this is kind of a big weekend on campus. You know, if, I guess my prediction, I didn't realize it was 22.5. You know, I'll go, I think it actually will be around that. I'm going to go 35-13 Michigan. My guess is that maybe they get off to a little bit of a slow start. I think they take over in the second half. I just think they'll wear Indiana down. I think Bazelak has got to complete like 70% of his passes. And I don't see him having the time to do that. I think Michigan will be able to pressure him. And the biggest thing is Indiana's playing behind the chains so much this year. First and second down, they've been terrible because they can't run the ball. So when you're 3rd and 8, 3rd and 9 against a Michigan defense, you're just, it's going to be a long day unless you got a really dynamic athletic quarterback, which is, that's not Bazelak's game. He could throw the ball, but that's not his game. So I think, you know, I think Michigan will wear him down. I think it, you know, I think it'll be maybe a little bit closer than people think for a half, but I think that they'll just wear him down. The Indiana offensive line is just playing so poorly. It's hard for me to see them being able to generate enough offense to stay in this game for four quarters.
Well, we can talk about this all we want, and we can give you all the insider insight from the Hoosiers program. But ultimately, it'll come down to the field, noon Eastern on Saturday over in Bloomington, Indiana. For myself over at the Michigan Insider, Matt, thank you so much for joining us. Listeners, thank you for listening and getting to this point. Please subscribe, rate, review, tell your friends about it. And of course, if you are looking for more content from either the Indiana side, even Indiana basketball, as that's getting going, it sounds like on Friday. And of course, for the Michigan side, you can do so at 247sports.com. I'll be heading down with Zach Shaw down to Bloomington. Very excited to do so. First time in Bloomington for me, and should be a fun weekend all around. That'll do it for us for this episode. We will see you next week. Peace.
This is Tony Kornheiser's show. I'm Tony. You expected someone else? So what exactly is the show about? I don't know. It's a sports show nominally. Football's over, but we're finally at a point where things matter in college basketball, and baseball season is on deck. Greatest three words in the English language, pitchers and catchers. We have some of the best voices come on and explain what matters or what makes an upset, like Ryan does, 9-8. No, that's not an upset. No, yeah, it is, Bob. And if you're lucky, I might just tell you about my search for discounted sleep pants or my worries about what my dog just ate. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.